Joe, Cindy, welcome.
Place is bugged. Events around the world are truly disturbing because we're not used to this. It's not something that happens in the United States a lot. We remember 9/11, some other things, but things that are happening now really are items of concern. But do remember what Jesus said, Mark 13, verses 28-29. Jesus said, "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door." And we shouldn't be greatly concerned about whether or not God's in control, because he is. We know these things are going to happen. And the thing to do is keep on praying. Tim Bean at Marbury has a saying, one or two of you may have heard it. Tim tells us to pray, 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 and pray some more. And that's what we need to do. Put our concerns, put our cares in the hands of Jesus that were nailed to the cross for our sins, because that's how much God loves us. Now, the title of the sermon this morning, it is not that I want to keep, not to be concerned about things that are happening, but in light of the fact that the Lord's coming is a whole lot closer than it used to be, we ought to remember what God is most concerned about. Jesus in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, he tells his apostles something which is, if you stop and think about it, is really profound and really amazing, absolutely amazing. And looking for a minnow. Jesus in John 15, starting with verse 1, "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Pruning process is not always painless. Sometimes it hurts. But Jesus is concerned that we bear fruit. And God is concerned that we bear fruit. Verse 3, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in me. As I also remain in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit." You know, as I went through this, remain is there a lot of times in that little segment of Scripture. Verse 4, it's remain is three times. Remain, remain, remain. "Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. You know, the remarkable thing here is that Jesus is stressing something really important. Regardless of what's going on, we need to remain in Jesus. That's the main thing. It isn't terribly complicated, but at the same time, it's tough because this world is something. There are a whole lot of distractions. There's hate. Whew. I remember the 60s. I know a lot of you do. Some of you remember the 50s. And never quite seen it as just as intense as it is right now. So much hate, so much ill will. And I wish people would know, and I wish they would read the first letter of John to the churches. You get to, and I'm pulling this one out of my head, because I've read it so many times. I believe it's in 1 John, I believe it's in chapter 4, somewhere around verse 19 and 20. And the gist of what John had to say was this: if you hate God's creation, which all of you are God's creation, if for some reason you hate me or I hate you, you need to understand that you hate the God who made you or me. And this is something we need to remember. God made us who we are, and sometimes we say, well, why were we so flawed, or this, that, and the other? We won't know. But I can guarantee you one thing. When we get to heaven, we're going to have perfect, glorified bodies just like Jesus. And we have a lot to look forward to. Unlike this bug, he comes back here again. He must want to sneak a peek at my sermon. Now, why does Jesus do that? Why does he say remain in him? So many times in that short passage of Scripture, you go to Matthew 24, verses 24 and 25, and Jesus said, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's you. And that's me too. Great signs and wonders to deceive. See, I have told you ahead of time. And Jesus knows just how harmful to the church that this false teaching can be. And it's, you look in chapter 21 of Revelation, you realize that we are the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And Jesus loves every one of us with a love that is more than we can ever understand. Some of the things I've did in the past, I wonder how Jesus could love me and call me back. But see, God doesn't want to throw any of us away. He really doesn't. He wants all of us to come with him and be with him in heaven. But it's going to be really hard if I hate you for who you are, or you hate me for who I am. Now, if I'm a burglar breaking in cars and houses and stuff like that, I don't expect you to would have a tremendous liking for me. But you need to remember that Jesus died for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. The blood of Christ avails for any. And you remember John 3:16, whosoever will may come. Whosoever. We feel the call of Christ in our hearts. And that's specifically all-inclusive. That doesn't leave anybody out, even the people in Iran. And you want to know something? I read something here about, I guess, a week or two ago, that one of the fastest-growing, or the fastest-growing church in the world today is the Christian churches in Iran. And as all this stuff is going on, we have thousands and thousands, maybe even millions, a few million or more. You think that the Iran is, they've stomped out Christianity. No, they have not. No churches, I understand no church in any country in this world, percentage-wise, is growing as fast as the church in Iran. And we have brothers and sisters in Iran. We have brothers and sisters in Nigeria and various places of Africa where it seems like these peace-loving Muslims just can't get enough of killing Christians. There's no tolerance for them whatsoever. And we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, because in other, things are not what they used to be, that's for sure. That's for sure in this country, not what they used to be. But Christians elsewhere in the world have it a whole lot harder than we do. So we need to remember that. And we can lift our brothers and sisters up in prayer daily as they cross our mind, as you think about it. Daily, moment by moment. Paul said, pray without ceasing. I think that's a good idea. I think that's a really great idea. Now, that the church is a vine is not a new concept. Back in Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah wrote, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? And that's the thing with Israel prior to the Babylonian conquest. What more could God have done? That's what he's saying. When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? And the thing about it is we get diverted, just like Israel easily got diverted from their mission. As over time they became more and more like the nations around them. And then God, even at one point, I think it's in 2 Kings, God at one point says they have that the Israel actually surpassed the nations around it with wickedness and evil. And that's the shape that the nation that Moses led out of Egypt, the nation that God did so many things for, the nation of the nation of Israel that made David king, that had Solomon as king, and all these wonderful blessings God gave Israel, but they quickly became like the nations around them. And that's the thing about us. We have to be careful about what we, not just what we hear, but we make sure we don't internalize it. We need to know to do two things to do that. Pray and have Jesus in your heart. And secondly, know what's in this Bible. Read it. I'll say it again and again and again. Thousands of people have died so that you and I could have the privilege of holding this Holy Bible in our hands and opening its pages and reading something. All right there at our fingertips. You wouldn't believe how many scrolls that the church of Jesus' day, when the apostles were just starting out, you wouldn't believe how many scrolls they had to carry around with them. We've got it all right here in this nice, compact little book. Read it. Pray, and pray some more, and study God's word. It's your best protection against false teaching. Jesus says in Matthew 25, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them, his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another he gave 2 bags of gold, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 more and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who received one bag dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, and see, this is the thing. Jesus was very clear in his teaching that things weren't going to happen right away. I know a lot of people get really impatient when they want something to happen. They want it right now. Right now. We've been conditioned in this digital age to think everything needs to happen now. God's not in a hurry. He had this in the beginning. God had this all planned out, and he knows what he's going to do. He knows what he's going to do. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with him. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Why? Because his servant was obedient and did what the master asked him to do. And he gained an interest on what the master had invested in him. And that's the same way with us. God's invested something with each of us. And he wants us to bear interest. He wants us to bear fruit, just like the vineyard. He wants us to bear good fruit. Some of us are not exactly going to produce all that well, but it doesn't matter, because God is in charge, and God will lead you and guide you in the way you need to go. And if all you come up with is two bags of gold, two bags of gold, that would be a lot. But if you be the best witness you can be. Be the best witness you can be. The man with two bags of gold also said, "Master, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See if I gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Wouldn't you like to hear that when Jesus sees you? When you see Jesus and he sees you, you're standing before the throne. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things." Now, two bags of gold to us is not exactly, chump change. But to the master, it was nothing at all, because the master, our master, Jesus, has the whole universe at his disposal and this whole planet at his disposal. He can give us anything he wants, but most of all, he wants to give us himself. And that's very important to understand. Jesus wants you to invite him into your heart and to be a part of your life. And he wants to lead you and teach you and help you to be strong and help you to be a good witness for him. And then the man with one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I know you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your gold in the ground." Really? Isn't that like people who are baptized and profess Jesus as Savior, and then they go out and do nothing? So, I believe in Jesus, but that's it. It's really sad, because we have the greatest treasure in the world when we have Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And this guy, he says, "I was afraid, and because why? I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, went out and hid your gold in the ground." See, I've got what belongs to you. Well, if we show up at the judgment, and we will, if we have Jesus in our heart, we're going to be judged on, the fact that we have Jesus in our hearts. But obviously this guy didn't know his master. He didn't know the true nature of who his master was. And if so many of us sometimes, or so many people, we forget who Jesus is, and we forget how much he loves us, and we forget that he wants us to go out and bring others in because he loves them too. His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant, So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would receive it back with interest. At least do that. At least do that. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I don't know if any of you have heard, have ever heard a messianic rabbi by the name of Jonathan Cahn, but he wrote a book quite some time ago, and there was a paragraph that really kind of fit in with bearing fruit here. And you need to understand that this analogy that he gives is in a general sense. I've kind of reworded it so it will apply more to us here. But I hope you like it, because we need to think of these things in a general sense, because we do not live in a perfect world, and not everybody grew up in a perfect family. Some people grew up in families that were just split apart and moved from here to there, and goodness knows what happened. And it's hard to understand when you, and sometimes we need to remember that God is with you, and it, well, strike that. Always we need to remember that God knows you, and God knows what has happened to you. And if you will give yourself to him, he can work with you just as you are. When we grow up, we leave the house of our childhood. From the parent comes the child. Your parents raised you, hopefully, or you were born, and the parent produces a child, and from the child comes a parent. You understand what happens? We grow up. You were a child, but now you're a parent. Life reproduces itself. When we are children, our purpose is to receive more than we give. But when we become adults, then our purpose is to give more than we have received. Now, I know some of you parents know a lot about that. Give a lot, don't you? And the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, so worth it. So worth it. So then, those who choose to live to take from this world have not attained completion. In other words, they have grown up. You keep expecting somebody to hand you something, somebody to do everything for you. Reality is, we should be doing instead, as our parents will, and as I say, it's not a perfect world, but in an ideal situation, as our parents did for us. Only those who choose to give have become complete. And when we give, then that which has been given to us has also become complete. What our parents did for us, and we do as our parents taught us, or our parents led us to do, or those who helped us to grow up, they led us to do these things, then we put these things into practice, and then the cycle becomes complete. And as it is in the natural realm, so it is in the spiritual realm. Jesus made disciples of fishermen, but the time came for them to go out and make disciples for Jesus. It's the way of life, and it's the way... It's the way of life, and it's the way God does things. Whatever we have received from God, we must give to others. And if we have been loved without having deserved that love, as God has loved us, then we must love those who don't deserve love. If we have been given joy, our lives must bring joy to others. And if we have been saved, then we must bring salvation to others. And if we have been blessed, then our lives must bring blessing into the lives of others. You see, this is a huge part of living as a Christian, of living for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior. As the song used to go, it still does. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. And if we have received the gift of salvation by receiving Jesus as our Savior and Lord, then we must share this marvelous gift by sharing Jesus with others also. In this way, we will bear fruit which glorifies God and brings salvation to the lost. You know, God sets the standards high, and he knows that we fall short. But as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, his strength was made perfect in weakness, because when he was weak, in other words, when he acknowledged his need for help from Jesus, from help from God, from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, so that he could live the Christian life. He says, when I acknowledge and when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, we need our daddy's help. We pray our Father in heaven. Well, you've got a daddy that runs the universe, the whole thing. It's all his. And he knows you, and he loves you, and he cares for you. Just put your foot forward and step out there and live for the glory of God. Live for the glory of Jesus. We get it right all the time? No. I sure don't. But I'll tell you what. I have a Father in heaven who, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is with me always, as is Jesus. Because I opened my heart and I've said, you know, many times, Lord, please come in. Please live with me and please be with me forever. And it's no different for you. It's no different for you. So all you have to do is be willing to open your heart and ask Jesus to come in and be your Savior and your Lord. And he'll do it. And he will help you because he loves you. Did I deserve God's love? No. But I'm so glad that I don't have to earn it. He loves me anyway. And I'm so glad that God loves me so much that he sent Jesus to die for me. What about you? I know we could all, it's almost the default application. We can all draw closer to Jesus. We can all draw nearer to Jesus. But that's a daily process. We're drawing closer and closer and closer. And as things look like they're winding up in this world, although we don't know the times, God didn't give us a time schedule. Jesus didn't set a date. He just said, I'm coming back. And as we see the things that are happening, we know that time is drawing close. So we ought to be about living for Jesus so that others can see that Jesus is alive and well in us. And when they see that, then we can bear fruit for the glory of God. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, truly without your help, we can do nothing. Help us to abide in the vine, Jesus Christ our Lord. And help us to listen to your Holy Spirit. And help us to, indeed, Lord, take us by the hand and lead us in the way you would have us to go. Because, Lord, if we try to hold on to you, we're human and we're not perfect. And there's a possibility that we could let go, just because we're not strong enough to do it on our own. So Holy Father, please take us by the hand and hang on. Lead us where you want us to go and be there with us each and every day of our life till you call us home. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible love you have for us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.